Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Numbers. It's in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. And if you will, turn to chapter 7. And you're going to be having an offering now while that's going on as well. Numbers chapter 7. And look at the very last verse. And when you find that, I thought I was ready, but I wasn't. Hang on just one second. There you go. I have people say, do you preach off of your iPad? I said, I do. They said, what if it goes out? I said, well, I've got one sermon that I can always preach. I'll just revert to that sermon. Numbers chapter 7, verse 89. Now, just hold that. I want to say to you that God is a God who speaks. God is a God who speaks. From the very beginning of creation, God spoke. In fact, God, everything that exists, God spoke it into being. Now, you think about that. Genesis 1, 1, and verses 1, 2, and 3. And by the way, to me, if you can't believe the first verse of the Bible, you can't believe the Bible. Let's read it together, all three of these verses. In the beginning, okay, I want you all to read with me. Here we go. One, two, three. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now, here it is. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Then God did what? He said. He spoke, did he not? Let there be light. And guess what? Light didn't have an option. Light had to be light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Why? Because God said it. God is the creating God. He creates. Now listen, you think you create something when you take already existing elements and you make something. That's not creation. That's making something. Creation is when you take nothing and you make something and you tell it what to do and it obeys you. God is the creator. You and I are not creators in the sense that we take nothing and make something. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11:3, the great chapter of faith, by faith, we understand that the worlds, that is the universe, all the stuff around us, the galaxies, everything else, were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God created the heavens and the earth. God did it by speaking, and God still speaks. Now, some people believe that God no longer speaks. I disagree. I believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that God has always spoken. I believe He's speaking today. I don't think the problem is that God's not speaking. I think the problem is we're not listening. And I believe He always will be a speaker. He speaks. I believe that whatever He says will be according to or in agreement with Scripture. But I don't believe that the only way that He preaches, or that He speaks rather, is through Scripture. I believe, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but I believe that He always speaks, and whatever He speaks is in accordance with Scripture. Jesus said, two things that Jesus said make me know that He's still talking. In John chapter 10, verse 27, He said, my sheep do what? Say it out loud. Hear my voice. How many of you are one of God's sheep? You've given your heart to Jesus. You know the shepherd. You can say Psalm 23 and mean it. The Lord is, say it with me, my shepherd. Boy, when you know the shepherd, Psalm 23 means more to you, does it not? And so Jesus is saying, my sheep hear. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. It's one thing for you to know the Lord, but you better hope the Lord knows you. Because at judgment day, he's going to say to some people, depart from me, I never what? I never knew you. He said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, now watch, and they follow me. Why do we follow him? Because he knows us and we hear his voice. Sheep won't follow anybody but their shepherd. And when you hear the Lord's voice, you follow him. Jesus said repeatedly in the Gospels and even in Revelation, Matthew 11:15 is just one of these examples. Read it out loud. It's a famous statement of Jesus. Put it on the screen if you have it. Like I said, here it is on the sides there. Read it with me now, Matthew 11:15. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. How many of you have ears? All right. Let him hear. But he's talking about a spiritual ear, is he not? Now, how do you hear the voice of God? That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Every thought that you have is not from God. Did you know that? Sometimes the devil can throw a thought into your mind. Now, some people say, oh, no. I say, oh, yes. You know, even Jesus was tempted by the devil. The devil put tempting thoughts into Jesus' mind. The Bible refers to those in Ephesians 5 as fiery darts. Ephesians 6, verse 16, rather, he says they're fiery darts. He says, raise up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. I think those are the thoughts that I want to show you how it works. You can be doing great. You can have a great worship experience. You can have a great, we had great worship this morning, great time. And I'm telling you, on the way home, you can have a thought come into you that will strike fear in your heart. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's just, and what is that? It's the devil throwing a thought at you. So every thought that you have is not from God. My wife told me after we got engaged, she said, I want you to know that somebody else had already asked me in a really weird way. I said, well, what are you talking about? She said, this guy came up to me and he said, he was a preacher student at Union, all right? And he said this to my she wasn't my wife, all right? She was not, we were not dating, so I guess she was, you know, fair game. But anyway, that probably didn't come out right, but anyway, all right. All right. Y'all know what I mean. Don't act like you never said it, okay? Get over it. All right. So he comes up to Donna and he says, the Lord told me that we're supposed to get married. Can you imagine that? I mean, what a knucklehead. I mean, why can you imagine that? And Donna said, well, when the Lord tells me the same thing, I'll let you know. All right? Amen. How many of you know that other people can't always be trusted to give you the Word of God? Amen? I mean, just because somebody else thinks you ought to do something, that doesn't mean it's from the Lord. So you got to be careful. You got to be careful. But I'm telling you, even though every voice you hear in your brain is not from God, some can be from your sinful self, some can be demonic, some can be whatever. If it's not scriptural, by the way, anything that you sense in your mind that is not scriptural, it's not from God. That's one of the things that all this gender confusion, let me tell you what it is. It's the enemy playing with your mind. Some kids and some adults are hearing, men are hearing, you're not a male, you're a female. Look at me. That does not line up with Scripture. God says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. He made you in his image. Male and female, he created you. God created men to be men and women to be women. And praise God for the difference. Amen? So, if you're a man, if you're a female and you hear, if you're a man and you hear in your heart, I'm a female, that's not God. And that's not you. That's the devil. Same thing with women. If you hear, you know, I'm not a female, I'm a male. Wrong. Don't go there. Don't go there. Just say in the name of Jesus. You say, well, what can I do? It's my thoughts. Some people think they can't do anything about their thoughts. Jesus tells us in the Word that we can take our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. When you have a thought that's not of God, you say, that's not of God. In the name of Jesus. I like to say that. I heard one preacher say, he said, I smell the devil. When I hear something that's not scriptural, I smell the devil. And when the devil puts a thought in my heart that's not of God, I say, that's not from God. I don't receive that. You know, I do this all the time. You have to. I'm telling you, the devil is attacking like never before. It's unbelievable. And if you're not getting attacked, it's because you're walking right along with him. I want to tell you something. You start walking against him, you're going to get attacked. Amen? And so he's going to start putting thoughts in your mind that are not, you know, discouraging thoughts. You're never going to make it. You're never going to be able to keep your job. You're going to get sick. Something bad's going to happen to one of your kids. Listen, you can wake up in the middle of the night and have these bad thoughts. What is that? The enemy. The enemy. You say, well, I didn't do anything to him. Yes, you did. You gave your heart to Jesus, and he hates the Jesus in you. And so what you got to do, you say, you know what? I don't receive that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not from God. I smell the devil. Now, you don't have to say I smell the devil, but just, you know what I'm talking about. I sense that the enemy is trying to give me those thoughts, and I'm not going to give in to them. I'm not going to be discouraged. Fear and discouragement, the two biggest thoughts that he attacks us with. It's relentless sometimes, but you've got to press through it. Sometimes you got to call a friend, and you got to say, now, I didn't even started my sermon yet. You got to call a friend, and you got to just have somebody you can pray with and say, hey, agree with me in this. I'm having a struggle here. Man, let's talk about this and get somebody to pray with you and in the name of Jesus agree with you over the phone. I do that all the time. Do it all the time. You have to if you're going to walk in victory. All right. Let's talk about hearing the voice of God. Number 789. Now, when Moses, I talked about this verse this morning, went into the tent of meeting, the tabernacle, to speak with him. He was going, he was purposeful, he was a man on a mission. He didn't go just to hang out and eat donuts, all right? He went to the meeting, the tent of meeting, to meet with God. And I want to say this to you, I'm all grateful for the fellowship with each other. I'm grateful for all that. But man, when we come to church, the main reason we ought to come is to meet with the living God. He is a living God. Amen. So he came to speak with him. And notice what happened. He came to speak with God, and he heard. He came to speak, but all of a sudden he's hearing something. Don't miss that. He heard the voice, that's God's voice, speaking to him from above the mercy seat. Wow. And he, which was on the ark of the testimony, from between the two cherubim. So he, God, spoke to him. I'm memorizing this verse, by the way. I ain't got it down yet, but I'm on it. I want this one in my soul. I want this verse in my soul. I had to read through 89 verses to get to it in this chapter. I was going through this chapter, and it was 12 things that every one of the tribes of Israel did, and they all did it the same way. And it's one of those things you're saying, Lord, you know, after I read about the seventh or eighth one and they're all doing the same thing, can I please just skip to the 12th one? And you say, well, no, I got to read them all. So I'm a little bit of a legalist, whatever you want to do. So I went through the whole thing. But when I got to the final verse, I thought, Lord, thank you for letting me persevere and getting to that final verse. Give you three things very, very quickly. If we want to hear God's voice, we must speak to him. You know why some people don't talk to y'all? Because you don't talk to anybody. You reap what you sow. Have you ever heard that? If people are not talking to you, it's because you're not talking to them. Some of y'all are out there waiting on somebody to talk to you, and God's saying, you know why they don't? You don't talk to them. You don't sow any good seed. Why do you think you're going to reap a harvest? Some of y'all are mad because somebody's not talking to you. Why don't you talk to them? Well, they ought to talk to me. That's pride. Are you okay? He said, Brother Steve, I didn't come in here for this. Well, what'd you come for? It's in the Word. And some of y'all say, God doesn't speak to me. I want to ask you, do you speak to God? Do you have a time where you wake up? Do you have a pattern that you go through? I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about, do you have a disciplined prayer life, whether you feel like it or not? If the only time you ever pray is when you're in trouble, then you're like America. The only time we pray as a nation is when somebody drops a bomb on us or there's bad weather or something like that. We get all torn up. I want to tell you what America needs to do. We need to pray, and we need God every day, whether we know it or not. And you need God every day, whether you know it or not. And you need to make a time, and I believe the earlier the better. I don't want to walk into a day that has not been prayed over. I'm telling you, it's the most dangerous thing you can do. You should, before you don't pray over your day, you should leave your doors wide open and go to bed. You should leave all your doors unlocked, and you should put all of your Social Security numbers online for everybody to get before you don't have a prayer list, before you go through a prayerless day. Having a prayerless day is more dangerous than anything else you know of. I'm not trying to put fear in your heart. I just pray that God will put the fear of God in your heart and give you some wisdom on this. Why would you want to live in a day that you have not prayed over? So wherever your day starts, that's where you start it with prayer. And you start the night before, you go to bed on time, and you get some rest, so when you wake up, it's you and God, and you're doing business, man. If we want to hear from God, we got to speak to Him. Now, when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with Him, he was on a mission. Think about some of these verses. You write these down. Do you have the verses printed in your deal? All right, get to know these verses. These are some of my favorites, all right? God said in Jeremiah 29:13, I want you to read it out loud with me, good and strong. Everybody, open your mouth. Let's read it. Here we go. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. How many of you have ever lost something? Anybody ever lost something? I'm talking about it was valuable. You say, well, I'll just get another one. No, you start looking for it. You start looking for it. Now, I'm looking for stuff all the time. Don said, what have you lost today? I mean, I look for stuff all the time. I find most of it. But he said, seek me. When you seek me, you're going to find me. But then he puts a qualifier. When you search for me with all of your heart, I don't want to be the second thing you go to. I don't want to be after you check your emails in the morning. I don't want to be after you check social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I don't want to be second to all that. I am God. And when you seek me like you mean it, that's when I'm going to start talking to you. I'm telling you, some of you are shooting yourself in the foot, putting all this other stuff in your brain before you start talking to God. Man, your first choice in the morning, say hello to your spouse. Howdy, baby, how are you doing? Or look, if it's real early, be real quiet and just slip out of the bed, amen, and go somewhere and get with God. He said, hearing me, you don't have to, these people were in exile. They were in Babylon. He said, you don't have to be in Israel to hear from me. It's not the Holy Land that's holy. I'm what makes the Holy Land holy to begin with. I'm the one you need to hear. And in Babylon, you can hear me there. I'm just as much in Babylon as I am over in Israel. Jeremiah speaking for God. They said, I want all your heart. And then you say, I want to hear God's voice. You got to speak with Him. Jeremiah 33:3. Somebody said, this is God's telephone number. Jeremiah 33:3. Here it is. Read it with me, good and strong. Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Newsflash, there are some things you don't know. I know that's a shock for some people. And the word call to me is not just give me a call. No, no, no. It's cry out. Everybody say cry out. Cry out. I'm talking about it's desperate for God. I've got to hear from God. I've got to talk to God. I must tell Jesus all of my burdens. I must go to the Lord. I can't bear these burdens alone. When you start crying out to God, God says, I will tell you. Now look at this. Great. Put the verse back on the screen. Great and mighty things. Please put it back on the screen. Jeremiah 33:3. I got all night. Great and mighty things he's going to give you. And that you don't know when you start crying out to God. And by the way, one of the reasons in Matthew 6:6, he said, go to your inner room, shut the door, is because there might come a time where you literally start weeping before the Lord. Amen. If you never, ever have a tear in your eye when you pray, something's wrong. I'm not saying you should cry all the time, but if you've never wept before the Lord, Jesus wept when he was praying for the city of Jerusalem. Well, what about this? You say, I want to hear God's voice. You must speak to him. What about Daniel 9:23? One of my favorite verses about prayer. Daniel, one of the greatest prayer warriors that ever lived. He lived to be 80, 90 years old. He was made a eunuch when he was a teenager. He never married, but he prayed 3 times a day, probably for 60 or 70 years, thousands of times. I tell you what, when that old boy got to heaven, he knew the voice of God. Amen. And he prayed so strong one time that here's what God sent Gabriel to him, all right? Gabriel didn't just come to anybody, all right? He came to praying folks, all right? And so Daniel 9:23, here's what Gabriel said to him. The moment you began praying, a command was given. God, look, your prayers literally move the hand of God. A command was given because you started praying. And now I'm here to tell you, I got some information for you, son, what it was, for you are very precious to God. Listen carefully so that you can understand the meaning of your vision. You're precious to God because you talk to God 3 times a day. I'm going to tell you something. You want to hear my voice? Talk to me. Talk to me. Let me give you one or two more. Acts 10:9. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the 6th hour, that's high noon, to pray. Now, you got to go all the way back to the first part, and God had already spoken to a guy named Cornelius. Cornelius prayed, and God talked to him. He was lost. I hear people say, God won't hear the prayers of a lost person. If they're trying to get saved, he will, all right? And this old boy is trying to get saved. He wanted to know what the real deal was about God. And so he starts praying and he's giving alms. And an angel shows up. Angels and prayer go together, by the way. The angel shows up and he says, you're very precious. Now, here's what's going to deal. I'm going to go down and I want you to send for Peter. He's down there by the sea at Joppa where, you might remember another guy. Does anybody remember the guy who went from Joppa? His name was Jonah, all right? And so you go down there, and there's another guy named Peter, and he's about to have, God works on both ends, amen? He's working on, in Caesarea by the sea, he's working on Cornelius, the lost Gentile, and now in Joppa, he's working on a Jew that thinks only Jews ought to get saved. And so Peter goes up, it's about lunchtime, he goes up to pray, he falls into a vision, God speaks to him, I won't give you the whole vision, he simply says, Gentiles need the gospel too. And I'm going to send some people here tomorrow that are going to ask you to come and do a witness to a Gentile. Next day, the Gentiles come. Peter's ready. He said, what do you want? We've been sent. God spoke to our centurion, Cornelius. He was praying. God spoke to him. Peter said, well, I was praying. He spoke to me. Let's go. He shares the gospel with him. The whole household gets saved. I mean, the Spirit of God falls on the whole household and they all get saved. Do you see that when we speak to God, whether you're Cornelius or Peter, God shows you things that he would not show you. He says things to you. He talks to people that pray and he tells them things that people that don't pray don't get. Amen. I'll amen myself. Doesn't bother me. All right. James 4:8. This is so good. Some of y'all still don't believe it. Here we go. Read it out loud. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Now, what part of that do we not understand? The reason, I'm telling you, the reason some of you don't know what to do is because you don't pray. I'm not trying to be ugly to you. I'm trying to give you the solution. What you're looking for, the real Christian life, begins in the prayer closet. That's not all you do. But if you don't do that, it doesn't matter what else you do. If you don't pray, it doesn't matter what else. You can tithe. You can go to church. You can do all these things and serve and witness and make disciples and all that stuff. But if you don't pray, I'm telling you, the anointing of God's not going to be on you, and God's not going to talk to you. And what is the first thing in battle that your enemy wants to do? He wants to put out your communications. Because if you can't communicate, you can't win the war. And some of you are trying to fight a war, and all of your communications are out because you never talk to the Lord on a regular basis. Some of you, you don't talk to the Lord more than once or twice a week. Why, with all due respect, why would God really talk to you about your situation? Why? I'm not trying to be ugly, but why? Some of you might read the Bible once or twice. You might go to church once. Now, this group, I think you probably do better. You say, we're the Sunday night crowd. I get it. You're more faithful. Thank God for you. You know what? We've got a lot of people, though, in this church that are members of this church. They might come once a month and think they're doing God a favor when they do that. I'm not trying to be ugly to them, but look at me. Look at me. If you really want to go on with God, you've got to get serious about your prayer life. You say, Brother Steve, you talk about that all the time. Yeah. It's the heartbeat of Christianity. All right. You want to hear from God? You got to talk to Him. You got to speak to Him. Number two, if you want to hear God's voice, we must listen to Him. How many of you know that there's a difference between talking to somebody and listening to somebody? How many of you are married? All right. I got my hand up. I'd been married 1 month, and we were driving from Milan, Tennessee, to Panama City. We were somewhere around Troy, Alabama. Don had been talking from Birmingham on. And here's what I said all the way. Uh-huh. 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 Well, somewhere around Troy, Alabama, she gave me that look. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All the guys out there. She said, what have I been talking to you about? I gave the dumbest answer I've ever said in my life. I said, well, you know what you've been talking about. She said, yeah, I know what I was talking about, but you don't know what I was talking about, do you? And you know what? There wasn't any more talking to Panama City. Sometimes we don't listen, do we? You can look somebody right in the eye and not bit more be thinking about what they're saying than a man in the moon. And some of you, and sometimes I don't do it, I don't listen to God. I don't get quiet enough. The Bible says, be still and know that He is God. Be still and know. We're so busy. We don't listen. But you're going to have to listen if you want to hear His voice. Now, when Moses, go back to our verse, Numbers 7, 89. When Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with Him, he heard. Everybody say, he heard. He heard the voice. Not a voice, but the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubim. You say, well, Brother Steve, I don't have the mercy seat. I don't have the ark. Whoa, 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 whoa. The veil was torn, and you are now in the Holy of Holies. Jesus is the Holy of Holies, and bless the Lord, O my soul, by the blood of Jesus, you're at the feet of Jesus right now. They could only go talk with the Lord. One man could once a year on the Day of Atonement. Guess what? Since Jesus died on the cross, every day is the Day of Atonement, and we can walk in anytime. God never sleeps, so you can go anytime. Anytime. You can walk right into His presence. You say, well, I've only been saved for a month. It doesn't matter if you've been saved for a millisecond. If you're saved, you can go into the throne room and be in the presence of Almighty God through the righteousness and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God talks to people when they listen to him. I love Isaiah 30, verses 19 through 21. O people of Zion who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. He will be gracious if you'll ask for help. He will respond, surely, to the sound of your cries. Though the Lord gave you adversity for food and suffering for drink, he will still be with you to teach you. You will see your teacher with your own eyes. Look at verse 21. Read it with me, good and strong. Here we go. Your own eyes will hear him. Right behind you, a voice will say, this is the way you should go, whether to the right or to the left. I pray this all the time for my family. I pray it for our staff. I pray it for Drew. I pray it for Dave. I pray it for Jason. I pray it for Steve. I pray it for Mark. I pray it for a lot of our staff members. Lord, let us hear your voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it, whether we turn to the right or to the left. You ought to pray that all the time. Lord, let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice behind you. Let me hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Speak to me, Lord. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. All right, another verse, Matthew 17, 5. While Jesus was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. He was with his disciples. He's on the Mount of Transfiguration. And behold, a voice out of heaven, the cloud, said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to my Son. Why is he saying that? Because they'd been up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Jesus was there, and who else was there? Does anybody remember the other two people from the Old Testament were there? Who were they? Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah and Jesus are the only one that ever did 40-day fasts in the Bible. Now, that's not why they were there, but it's very interesting that Jesus represents the new covenant. We talked about this morning, and Moses represents the law. And Elijah was the greatest of the prophets. So you got the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, talking to the New Testament, saying, we knew that what we have was inferior to you, Lord, and the old covenant is giving way to the new covenant. And so what Peter, he sees all of them, he says, he's a Baptist preacher. He wants to go into a building program, amen? So he said, let's just build tabernacles for all of you. Because you're all so awesome. God covers the whole thing up. He said, wait a minute. Jesus is greater than these others. And when he pulls back, Elijah and Moses are gone. He said, this is my beloved Son. Not Moses, not Elijah, but Jesus. Hear ye him. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. All right, last thing. We must speak to him. We want to hear God's voice. We must speak to him. We must listen to him. And then we must believe that he will speak to us. And some of you are saying, how does God speak to us? Let's talk about that very quickly. Now, when Moses went into the tent of meeting to speak with him, he heard the voice speaking to him from above the mercy seat that was on the Ark of the Testimony from between the two cherubim. So he spoke to him. Now, Moses spoke to God. Moses listened to God. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to God. Moses listened to God. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to God. Moses listened to God. God spoke to Moses. Put your name in there. Steve spoke to God. Steve listened to God. God spoke to Steve. Put your name in there. Just put your name in there. How does God speak? Number one, through Scripture. I'll just read one verse. I don't have time to read. Do you have all the verses I've given you? Do you have that in your notes? Okay, go home and look up all. They're all great scriptures. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God, God-breathed, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God's going to talk to you through the Word of God. Why do you think that we say all the time, you need to be reading the Word of God? You need to be, and we believe you ought to read, you know, some people, you know, I believe you ought to read the Bible through every year. 15, 20 minutes. I know you can just, I get it, you know, you can just read a few verses and really soak them in. That's great. That's called scripture memory. Go do that too. But I believe that you ought to go through. Now, there's no Bible verses you have to read the Bible every year. I just think that's a good practice. If you don't want to do it, that's fine with me. If you want to be wrong, that's your business. But I believe with all my heart that you ought to try to read the Bible through once a year. And there's plenty of plans. We give you a plan every December. We'll do that this year. And I would encourage you to try to do it. But take a Bible bath every day. You ought to be in the Bible. You know, it takes you, if you're a slow reader, you can read those entries every day. It takes about 20 minutes. And there, you know, if it's, let's say there are 96 15-minute segments of a 24-hour period. Can you give 1/96th of your day to God in Bible reading? So get in the Word. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. You say, how do I know what God's telling me what to do? When he says in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, that means you're going to be a soul winner. That means God wants you to witness to other people. When he says, for instance, in Matthew 6:6, go into your inner room, shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. Your Father who sees in secret will repay you. That means you're supposed to get alone with God every day and pray. It's real simple. The Bible's not complicated. 2 Corinthians 9:7, God loves a cheerful giver. That means when you give, you ought not to snarl about it, all right? You don't have anything God didn't give you to begin with. You say, I work for all mine. Who gave you the breath to begin with? Who gave you food to eat, clothes to wear, a roof over your head? Who puts you in your right mind? Who is the one that keeps your body going? You don't even know how your body works. God keeps it going. So don't tell me that you earned everything, all right? Everything you have is a gift from God. You don't own anything. You're just a little caretaker. Just take care of it and let God tell you what to do with it. Amen. I'll amen myself. That's cool. God speaks primarily through Scripture. Number two, God speaks through the Spirit. Now we're getting somewhere. God speaks through the Spirit. Acts 8:29. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. Now, how did he know it was the Holy Spirit? What was he going to do? He was going to go witness to this guy. Look at me. The devil's not going to tell you to witness to somebody. And your flesh doesn't want to tell you that either. We had a lady come back to Guest Central today. I asked her if she knew the Lord. She said, not really. I knew it was the will of God for her to be saved. Why? Because the Word says God is not willing for any to perish, but for all to believe. And so Donna went back, shared with the lady, she got saved. Now, how did I know to do that? How did I hear the voice of the Lord? Because I knew the Scripture. But the Spirit of God will prompt you to tell people about Jesus. And give me one more thing. God speaks through the saints. I just would encourage you to go see how God spoke to the church in Acts 15. And I'm telling you, when God's people start praying and believing God, God will start laying things on people's heart. And somebody, you'll be praying about something. How many of you ever had this happen? Now think with me. You've been praying about something, and somebody that really walks with the Lord, they read their Bible, they pray, they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're trying to do right. They're not perfect, but man, they're trying to walk with the Lord. They're trying to walk in the Spirit. And you've been praying about something, and you start talking with them, and all of a sudden, they say something to you that is exactly what you've been praying about. How many of you ever had something like that happen? Look at me. It happens all the time. The more you pray, the more that kind of stuff happens. I'm telling you, God is real. I'm telling you, there's more to the Christian life than we know. There's more than just showing up on Sunday and making a check on our list. There's more than just reading the Bible to be reading the Bible. You don't read the Bible just to read the Bible. You read the Bible to hear the voice of God. Amen. You spend time with people to pray with them. You spend time praying with the Lord so you can hear His voice. I wish I had more time. We're out of time. I think heaven's going to be when you can preach as long as you want to preach. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand up. I'm through. I'll quit. Please hear me. I'm not fussing. If I sounded a little fussy tonight, please don't think that I am. And don't think that I'm any great prayer warrior. I like what a guy said. He's a missionary. He said, I'm just telling other beggars, I'm a beggar telling other beggars where I found some bread, all right? I'm just telling you, this is what lights my fire. And I don't want to sound all like I'm better than anybody or anything like that. Look, I still stumble and stuff, but I want to tell you something. I have found the key to my walk with the Lord is my prayer life. And I'm telling you, you can hear God talk to you. It will always be according to Scripture. You need to make sure other people bear witness with it that really walk with the Lord. And sometimes you'll miss it, okay? A little bit. That's okay. God knows your heart. Amen? Amen. God knows your heart. Sometimes you'll feel like God's telling you to do something, and maybe you miss it a little bit. I'd rather be trying to hear the voice of the Lord and miss it a little bit than to just ignore the Lord and miss everything. Amen? Amen. So just learn to listen to God. Learn to walk with God. My sheep hear my voice. Now, if you don't know the Lord, you don't even know what I'm talking about. All this is foreign to you. When you read the Bible, it's like you're reading somebody else's love letter. Amen? When I read the Bible, it's like I'm reading a love letter from my Heavenly Father. Amen. You got to know the author before you can understand the book. So if you don't know the Lord, give your heart to Jesus. Get saved even today. Come to the Lord and be born again. And if you've never been saved, come and do that even tonight. Guys, come. Pastors, come and be here at the aisles. And we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to sing. And if you've already been saved but you've never been baptized, we make a big deal about baptism, not because we're Baptists, but because we're Christians. And when you get saved, you're supposed to go public with it and not be ashamed of the Lord. So come and set up a time to be baptized if you've never done that since you've been saved. And if you'd like to join our church, we are not a perfect church, but we want to follow the Lord. And if you want to be a person that hears the voice of God, come and join our church tonight. And then if you need prayer, come. And if you need healing, we believe in medicine. We believe in doctors. Jesus believed in doctors. Jesus believed in all that. But he also said through his brother James that we're supposed to anoint people with oil and pray for them. We do that in that room right over there, the life room. We do it every Sunday night. And we'll do it during the week if you need us to. But tonight, if you're sick, keep taking your medicine. Keep going to your doctor. But if you want us to pray for you, according to James chapter 5, guys, raise your hand. I get you to do it every Sunday night. But those guys right over there, just slip out over there, and they'll do it. And it'll be confidential. You don't have to worry about that. And let them pray for you. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing. We're going to worship. God's going to speak. And just whatever. I got to give you one last verse. There was one verse. I'm sorry. I'm not really, but I'm going to share it with you. I got to give you this one last verse because I want you to take this home, all right? Guys up there, 1 Samuel 3:9. Remember little Samuel, when he's a little boy, and God was speaking to him. And finally, Eli, the priest, figured out that's God talking to him. He thought it was Eli. And at the very end, here's what he said. Eli said to Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say to him, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Let's all say that out loud. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Now say it to the Lord. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. How many of you want to listen for God to speak to you? Amen? Amen. You pray that every day. Lord, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Give me ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. Amen? Amen.